Coming to you live from some other person's apartment, it's Rob Doesn't Have His Own Podcast, and now here are the ladies who are taking over for all things Amazing Race for the evening, Miss Jessica Leese, that is me, and all the way from Canada, Haley Strong. Hello, Haley, how are you this evening?
I'm doing well. It was awesome to see this extra episode of The Bachelor this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like in Paradise, but they're in Tokyo.
I mean, isn't Tokyo Paradise?
I guess for some people it probably is. If you like parking garages and sake, it's perfect.
And that one building that's an emoji on your iPhone?
Yes.
That makes me sound like such a dumb bunny, but...
I didn't even notice that, but you're absolutely right.
They showed it like 18 times. I was like, that's the emoji.
I'm gonna have to go and like tweet that a dozen times now.
And that's my dumb girl comment for the night. Just kidding. There's going to be a lot more.
We're barely a minute into this podcast. I hope that you have more ready.
Oh, do I ever.
All right. So the first thing we gotta lead with tonight, we got to talk about the selfie cams.
Yeah. Okay. So I like it and I hate it. So I like it because if I was a racer, one of my thoughts is always that I would be mad that I wouldn't be able to capture it from, like, capture the experience from my view. So I like it from that aspect. You can, you know, take photos along your way. But, like, all the photos we're seeing are just of the people in the race and, like, not even in, like, an angle where you can get, like, a cool building in the background. It's, like, them and the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, at least, like, a couple of times they got a guy from the task in on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was okay with that, but I think, well, for one thing, is there such a thing as a selfie cam, or what we're looking at here, is this a decommissioned cell phone?
That's what I thought it was. It's like an iPhone Color or something like that.
Yeah, what is the point of, like, is it a product placement phone? Because they didn't say a whole bunch of times, I'm going to take a bunch of selfies on my brand new Samsung Galaxy. It's a beautiful machine.
Yeah, I found that really odd. I don't remember them saying it was of any sort of company or anything.
No,
that would have made a lot more sense.
It was the most generic looking phone ever. It was like an Acme brand phone.
And they tried to, like, make it match their, like, team colors. Like, the blind date boys.
Yes, team
outfits.
Yeah, team lime green. Yeah, I don't know about this, and I guess they're trying to promote it on social media. I guess they're putting them up on the websites. We're seeing little bits of it during the shows, but I gotta be honest, I'm not feeling the selfie cam yet, and I'm not sure I love the name selfie cam, which I thought was something that came out of Haley just kind of organically, but everyone was calling them that.
Yeah. I think it's a cute premise, but I don't think it works for the television show, especially they seem to be taking a lot of time up to do it.
Yeah, how terrible would it be if you got eliminated because production told you had to stop and take a selfie?
Can you imagine? That'd be so funny. I mean, it would be horrendous, but it would be, like, funny.
Yeah. There was one moment that I really loved, and of course we're gonna get to all of the fun and excitement that was the punching bag of registered nurse Haley, but we got to talk about her selfie that she took in the backseat of the car.
Oh, she's too pretty for that selfie.
I know. It was like, this is the one bad photograph that's ever been taken of this woman.
And like they just threw her under the bus by like putting that on air, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I feel like there has never been this many Haleys on reality television before, and now it's all on at one time, and they all spell their names wrong, which I don't appreciate.
Yeah, you've got Haley on Survivor, you've got Haley here. Is there a Haley on The Bachelor this year?
Thankfully, no.
Okay, well.
We haven't made it that far yet.
Well, we'll get there.
We're still advocating for Haley rights over here.
Oh, man. Well, keep fighting the good fight, right?
Oh, we will.
Okay, so we had a 90-minute premiere this week, I guess, to match the Survivor premiere that preceded it. Now, do you think this double stacking of 90-minute premieres, like, how did this work for you? How do you feel about this?
I was getting a little sleepy near the end of the race, especially when it kind of was lacking tension. And the three-hour marathon of reality television is a lot, especially since so the Survivor premiere was really high energy, and then near the end of Amazing Race, I felt it was kind of slowing down. I was kind of trying to attempt the dance over and over and over again, so I was kind of drifting in and out of paying attention.
Yeah, when I had to write a recap of this for the other site that I write for, and the entire second half of the episode is about two paragraphs, because it felt like so much of the same, and I'm not sure I think this episode needed to be 90 minutes long.
I really don't think it... If they've cut out at least seven selfies.
Yeah, and even... You could have packed another task in there, I think, and it would have been... It would have felt like it deserved to be that long.
Well, especially like the people who did go to the Saki task, like, it didn't take them long. Like, only the one team had more than one attempt, right?
Right.
Of what we saw, but, like, I'm sure we would have seen it if it took more.
Yeah, it was almost, that felt really thrown together, because I think the idea was they never have a detour on the first leg, and they want to make it so that there is, they're going to throw a U-turn on the first leg just to freak people out. They got to have a second task, and that felt really hastily thrown together.
Oh, I see. Right. Yeah, I would agree with you. It seemed really mismatched.
Yeah. Although,
I thought what would happen when they were describing the Saki task, I thought it was like you had to memorize 10 Saki names and like match the bottle with each one. Like you had to do all 10. Like there was going to be 10 orders when there was only one order. So it was actually so much more simple than you would think.
Right. And you have to, yeah, it was really, you had to memorize one name, not 10 names. So it felt very mismatched, but my sense of it, especially given, and this was something that a lot of people asked questions about this, why were people so convinced that they had to stay at the steps task the entire time?
I don't know. I'm shocked more people didn't switch.
My only thought on that was that either the Saki task was a lot more complicated than we saw, and they just didn't show it because it was so boring, or it's really far away. Because you'll notice that the two teams that did it at the very top of the order, like, they went straight to the Saki, and they did the task very fast, they were in and out, and those were not the top two teams. Like, you had Jeff and Jackie, and you had Harley and Jonathan, and they were... They were near the top of the pack, but they weren't at the top of the pack.
That's a good point. Like it probably was kind of out of the way.
Yeah.
They probably would have had to backtrack, maybe.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. And especially Jeff and Jackie, they were in and out so fast that they really should have been in first place, with the other teams having to do three or four tries at that steps task.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah, so it must have been fairly far away. Sometimes if I'm feeling like super nerdy and ambitious, I go on a map and I plot out all the places they were. But
oh my god, I love that.
Yeah, I didn't do that this week. I was just kind of ready for the episode to be over.
Yeah, it was a long episode.
Yeah. So we need to backtrack, I guess. We need to go back to the very starting line, apparently in this park in the middle of nowhere near LA. And we need to talk about the season's big giant twist.
Let's do it.
All right. So we've got everybody is a dating couple. First of all, how do you feel about that?
That aspect I'm kind of fine with. It adds like a different dynamic. I would have preferred a season of just kind of all different types of relationships, because that's when you really bring in the different social dynamics and how, you know, other like teams interact with each other and those teams interact with other people. I feel like you lose a little bit of that element when the relationships are, you know, romantic relationships.
Yeah, you miss that angle of like you have the. If you have like a parent and a child and you have a couple that's young, the couple kind of becomes adopted by the parent.
Mm-hmm.
We have those kinds of relationships, and we have just like groups of friends flirting with other groups of friends. That's another fun dynamic that we're not getting. It is a lot of things we're missing on this. And I think on its own, it wouldn't, like, if it was just 11 couples that were dating, that would be the worst. The fact that the blind date is in here, this does make it a little more interesting, but as you probably know, I'm not in love with this either.
Yeah, and I'm completely behind you on that. I just think it feels really forced. It feels like they're trying to manufacture drama that's not necessary because, I mean, as we've seen with however many seasons of Amazing Race, the drama will manufacture itself. It'll come up eventually. And it's just kind of showing that they're not having faith in their casting process almost. Like they don't believe that they can get these different relationships going and create a good television show. So they have to rely on gimmicks. And I just also think it's just really unfair to the blind date teams. And I mean, in this episode, we saw them work together fairly well, but I can see that falling apart, you know, by the next episode.
Yeah, and they weren't all, like, it wasn't all sunshine and roses for all of the blind date teams.
Yeah, and that just kind of mars those people's experiences.
Yeah, I'm sure some of them probably had people they wanted to race with.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, this is assuming that all of them had even heard of The Amazing Race, which, as you know on this show, is not entirely something that we can assume safely.
That's true.
You know, they just kind of rolled out to Santa Monica and picked up random pretty people and said, hey.
Do you have a passport?
Yeah.
I've got a show for you.
Yeah. Did you read that article on Reality Blurred about how if you want to get recruited for a reality show, you should go hang out in Santa Monica?
I didn't, but, like, I could see that happening.
Yeah. It's just like, go there now to meet the reality stars of tomorrow.
Go there to meet the casting director of your dreams.
Indeed. Yeah, so who do you think is, which one of these blind date couples do you think has the best chance of actually becoming a romance?
Okay, so I'm going to change the people who I think have the best chance of just, like, doing well in this game, and I think that's Jelani and Jenny, but I feel like they have more of a friendship vibe. I feel like Tyler and Laura, they seem like a solid team, and I feel like that could evolve into something more.
Yeah, I get the sense Tyler and Laura may actually be attracted to each other, and Jelani and Jenny are just kind of like two alphas that want to win the race.
Yeah, and like they're both stunningly beautiful, but I just don't feel that like chemistry that like a dating couple, you know, would have.
Yeah, they're both about 4.5 feet tall too. They're just like miniature and adorable.
Like, I feel like I want to see the matchmaking process they went through for this, because it just feels like they matched their careers and that was it. They're like, okay, see ya. So, like, Jelani and Jenny are both in the law field. Haley and Blair are both in the medical field. Bergen and Kurt are both gay and male, and they have the same haircut, so obviously they're meant to be.
But I always picture the line from Sex and the City, just because he's gay and I'm gay, that doesn't mean we're going to fall in love.
And I can't remember if you covered it in the preview podcast, but do you think they're missing an element by not having a lesbian couple on it?
We didn't cover this in the preview podcast, and I definitely think there should have been at least one female-female team. And because the theme is dating couples, naturally that would be a lesbian couple. And I can't imagine that it would be hard to find.
No, and I really think that would have added an extra layer. It would have been more well-rounded.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't seem particularly well-rounded. It just seems like there are still a lot of teams that if they're on screen and their name is not at the bottom of the screen, I don't immediately know who it is.
I completely agree.
Like, I'm having a little bit of trouble with Matt and Ashley and Allie and Steve, because they're both, like, good-looking, dark-haired teams.
Oh, and Jackie and Jeff, I completely forgot that they were a blind date couple.
Jackie and Jeff kind of, that's an interesting dynamic there, because that was the team that Rob and I had predicted would not really get along.
Right, and they seem to be not too bad right now, but I feel like he's probably going to get tired of her at one point.
Yeah, she has a very different energy from him, and that was why we didn't think it was going to work at all. And in fact, we can't even, if you want to talk about what was their process here, they have nothing in common.
No, like, I don't, they were just like, well, she's pretty and he's pretty and we want both of them on the show, but we don't have any other way to do it, so let's just throw them together.
Yeah, it makes almost no sense, but weirdly enough, they seem to really get each other.
Yeah, maybe it's just kind of like one of those opposites attract situations.
Yeah, like, he's the dancing cat and she's Paula Abdul.
Yeah. Also, can we talk about how it really annoyed me in, like, the first challenge when they were trying to get their tickets? That, like, half the girls didn't put their hair up?
Yeah, that was gross, because you got long hair, you get it in the mud, you're going to be eating mud for the rest of the day.
Like, Jackie has excessively long hair, and she didn't, like, put in a little top knot. Or, like, Haley was just like, I hate mud. But, like, girl, put your hair up. It'll cut the mud in your face in half.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand why they don't do that as a matter of course on the race. Like, this is a physical thing you're doing.
I put my hair in a ponytail to podcast.
Thank you. Thank you. They're so, like, everyone has perfect makeup. They have more makeup to run a leg of the Amazing Race than I did at my prom.
And it's and like, I completely understand, like, I want to look hot on my during my 15 minutes of fame, but there's, like, a way to do it where it's just like a little foundation, a little tight lining around the eyes, and touch of mascara, and, like, you're good to go and you don't look high maintenance.
Right. And then it doesn't run down your face when you have to do a mud run at the starting line.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, everyone looked kind of bedraggled by the time they got through that thing, and I thought it was kind of an equalizer, actually. It, you know, everybody now, it's like you're being reborn. You have to go rinse all this mud off, and
you're being stripped of, like, everything.
Exactly. You have to take what had to be a cold, clothed shower with a stranger, and if that's not a bonding experience, you know, I don't know what is.
Really?
Yeah. So, Blair and Haley. I mean, Haley is just, I don't know how I feel about her yet. Because I think, on one level, she's really cute and she says some really funny things. On the other hand, I don't know that she always knows she's saying funny things.
Yeah, she seems like a very nice girl and, like, someone who clearly means well, but I don't know if she's someone I could hang out with for more than 20 minutes without being like, okay, I've had enough of your existence.
Yeah, and the thing that I'm not sure of is, in the Blair-Haley dynamic, you can tell it's not working, but I don't know whose fault that is yet.
Yeah, because Blair seems a little standoffish, and Haley's just, like, doesn't know how to reel it in a little bit.
Yeah, she keeps trying and trying and trying, and he stopped trying after about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And you see this when they're in the car, and she's talking at him, and she's saying, I was worried you weren't going to like me, and, you know, stunned silence from Blair, and, well, I'm just a silly little blonde girl. What if you don't like silly little blonde girls? And this had to be editing, because I can't believe someone would be this much of a douche.
But you never know. He could be that much of a douche.
He could be that much of a douche. And they cut to him just going, that was brilliant editing if it was editing, and it was super douchey if it was not.
I feel ya. Poor Haley. She's going to see this and just be like, oh my God, like, I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be, oh my God, I can't believe I did that, or, oh my God, I can't believe I was trying to impress that guy.
That's probably what it's going to be like. She's going to come out of this and be like, I am way too hot for him. Like, he's very cute, but, like, it just doesn't seem like a good match on any level.
But it's the difference between cute and hot.
Yeah.
We learned this from Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't... Like, I was thinking going in that they had the most in common. They lived in the same area. They worked in the same field. It seemed like, on paper, these guys should get along great. But as soon as they met each other, you could just see the light go out of Blair's eyes.
Yeah. I feel bad for Haley because she's going to continue to try, and I think Blair's going to shut down on her, and I could see them being out week 3 or 4 easily.
Yeah, they need to do something different. Although it would be the best redemption story of all time if it turned out like they had a couple of more moments like they did this week where Haley was right about something and Blair had to acknowledge it. And over time, he became more and more impressed with her.
Right.
Like that I could get behind.
And I feel like Haley's probably trying to, you know, when you first meet someone, you want to put on your best self or, you know, and get a little nervous. So I feel like that's a little bit of that going on. So when she kind of dials back what's going on, like just like naturally, I think they're going to click more. But I just don't see it being a functional relationship. It just doesn't seem like they know how to communicate with each other.
Yeah, it might be one of those things. Like, I didn't look into this. They might not even be friends on like, Facebook.
Right.
Yeah, I try not to get into, like, you know those people that go down that spoiler rabbit hole are like, mm-hmm. these guys are friends, and this person tweeted at this person. That must mean they're best friends, which means they got out early, and they had to hang out together, and, yeah.
I'm just too lazy for that. Like, I just do not have the patience to do that kind of thing.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Yeah, so who else was a standout during the mud run phase of the operations?
I feel like at that point, everyone was just kind of blending together. I feel like probably Rochelle and Mike, I feel like they just stand out no matter what. Like, there's no blending in with that pair.
Yeah, we're not going to confuse Rochelle and Mike with any of the other teams here.
No.
Like, we got a very alternative-looking girl with likes the bright red lipstick and does the roller derby.
And then, Matt Bischoff from Survivor.
And Matt Bischoff from Survivor. Exactly. Yeah, the two of them, like, they're going to be, people are going to respond to them just because they can't respond to anybody else because everybody else is exactly the same.
They really remind me of the couple from The Amazing Race Australia/New Zealand this summer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kat
like
and
the married. Yeah, they really remind me of them.
Yeah, they do seem to have that same kind of bond, and they have the same aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I liked, they seem to know how to talk to each other in a way that people that are dating for 7 months don't normally know how to talk to each other.
And maybe it's just because she has a kid, so it's like she has to take all of her relationships a little more seriously. Also, am I missing something with the truck stop thing? Like, did they meet at a truck stop?
Yeah, he runs a truck stop.
Oh, okay.
Although the hashtag truck stop love is still questionable. I don't know.
That sounds like a very George Michael kind of thing.
Oh, yes. Exactly. I don't think we've ever had a team on The Amazing Race that was involved in any kind of truck stop love. That's all I'm saying.
Ooh. Uncomfy.
Yeah, I don't know who at CBS approved that hashtag, but
like CBS PR, holler at your girl. I'm graduating soon. I need a job. And I will come up with hashtags that are way less stupid than this.
Yes. Make Haley your executive vice president in charge of hashtags. And we'll never have this problem again. So who's got the best hashtags and who's got the worst ones?
Okay. I don't remember all of them. I think I liked Bergen's and Kurt's, which was blonde date.
Yeah, I liked that too, except it's the wrong spelling of blonde.
Oh, did they do the female version?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's harsh.
Yeah, and also, you know, possibly a little offensive. These are dudes. They don't take an E on blonde.
What are some of the other ones?
We had Blair and Haley have RX for love.
Hate it.
Hate it.
Too on the nose.
Yeah, just a bit. I think Tyler and Laura have the most boring one, which is SoCal love.
Ew, stupid. Oh, and there's like Sochi love, right?
Yeah, Sochi love. And, Flight Crew was Jeff and Lida.
Okay, I kind of like that.
Yeah, that one's clever at least. And CJ and Libby are Team Tuskegee.
They're Team what?
Tuskegee, because that's the town they're from.
Okay, that's stupid.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's no more stupid than like calling a Boston team Boston Strong. I don't know.
I guess they could have done like Team Awesome Sock Bun.
Yeah, yeah, because that was quite the fierce sock bun. Team Where's the Ring?
Yeah, that would have been fantastic.
Team Mostly Off.
Yeah, Yep, yep, yep. All of these things. So much better.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they're coming up with their own hashtags. They should.
There's
just
a 0%
us.
Chance that like most people know how to spell Tuskegee. I don't even know how to say it. Tuskegee.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Hard pass.
Yeah, I would be. I was actually just gonna use portmanteaus of their names the whole way through, and you know, hashtag Klebia, hashtag Jeleni, who also have a really boring hashtag. Jelani and Jenny are like the lawyer team or something.
No, they're Team JJ, aren't they?
No, Jeff and Jackie are Team JJ, which is also stupid because there's two JJ teams. How are we ever going to know which one we're talking about?
Yeah, that is real dumb.
Yeah, literally the only thing that Jeff and Jackie have in common is their names start with J.
Yeah. Okay, Matt and Ashley, what are they, Team Hairstylist?
Yeah, they are the Hairstylists.
The Hairstylists. That, they could have been like a cut above or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know.
Yeah. Or Mashley. Come on, man.
Or just no hashtags, because nobody cares.
Yeah, because nobody uses them.
What's Tyler and Laura's?
SoCal Love.
Oh, right. That's stupid. We agreed on that.
Yeah, nobody's coming off well. And
yeah, because they're not in love yet. They just met.
Right.
Let's dial it back.
Yeah, it's a little too much pressure. And honestly, I think the teams that don't put the pressure on themselves to fall in love are doing better.
Yeah, like, do you feel like Jelani and Jenny didn't actually like come on the show to find love? Like, they came on to race.
Yeah, they clearly do not care at all about finding love. Like, they're there for the $1 million, and it really shows.
And I'm not sure if Jelani is there to race either, because he wore khakis on the first day.
We call that the Dennis Auer Memorial misdressing.
Dumb. That's dumb is what,
yeah,
I call it.
At least it's not jeans.
That's true. I mean, it's still not great. Especially when you have to jump in mud. It's like, well, just ruin those khakis.
Yep. Can we stop at Brooks Brothers on the way to the airport?
Yoga pants are bust, like, always.
Totally. Like, I've started, like, trying to figure out how I can wear yoga pants to work.
Oh, you do it with a nice blouse and nice shoes, and no one notices.
I'm trying it. I'm totally trying it.
And, like, an oversized cardigan, too, so, like, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I can't get away with it with, like, a running jacket and a backpack, but...
I mean, you could try.
I could try. Yeah. So... I don't know. For a second, I thought they were those kind of like outdoorsy pants that you zip off at the knees, but they're not even those. Those were like nice khakis.
Yeah, they were like, and like he's in a polo and his like thing shirts or, oh my God, press photo. So like, I assume I feel like he wore a collared shirt during the first step of the race.
Anyway, well, I mean, they came in first place. Who are we to argue with their sartorial choices?
That's very true.
Yeah, they ran a tight ship, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of that, but I think the way that they seem so type A, I'm waiting...
That they're going to blow up?
Yeah, I'm waiting for one of them to get really pissed off at the other one.
Yeah, I see it happening. And then, like, we see the downside of the blind date couples. Like, you don't know how to calm that person down.
Right, and we saw that happen a little bit in this season that we don't talk about with Mark and Mallory.
Right, exactly.
Where if they had been with their original partners, either one of them, that wouldn't have been a big deal. They would have talked their way around it. But because they didn't know what was important to the other person, it just ended up being total disaster. And I think we're going to get some of that. I don't know who it's going to be from.
I don't know either, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And I also think we could certainly see it from a lot of these existing dating couples.
Matt and Ashley?
Matt and Ashley, for sure. And there are a lot of these people that have been together for less than a year, which it used to be a rule that when you applied for The Amazing Race, you had to have known the other person for at least 5 years.
Really?
Yeah. In the early seasons, there were a lot of restrictions on who you could and could not apply for the show with. And in special circumstances, they would let it slide. But most of the time, people had known each other for ages. You never got people that had just started dating.
Or had never met before.
Yeah. I want to see, maybe Rob and Amber might have been the first couple to go on The Amazing Race that had not been together for all that long.
Interesting. How things change. How Rob changed the face of reality television.
Yep, that's just one of the many ways. Yeah, so one thing I noticed that we were missing at the starting line, there was no save this year and only one express pass.
I'm a little disappointed in the express pass, although I didn't watch last season, so I wasn't really missing the save. I was more or less indifferent to it. But I did listen to all the podcasts, so from what I understand, it didn't really pan out. It didn't really have any effect on the game at all.
Yeah, it ended up meaning absolutely nothing.
Yeah, so it's kind of garbagey when, like, that happens. So maybe they just kind of jumped out on it maybe a little too soon. Like, they should have tried it again this season just to maybe see if it would have worked out. And then scrap it afterwards if it didn't pan out how they want. But I think it's a little too trigger happy to, like, pull it so soon.
Yeah. Well, it's also tough to throw the same twist into the game in back-to-back seasons, because we saw it not work once. We're not going to be inclined to want to see it work in the second time.
I guess so. That's true.
Although it would be much more likely to get used this season, I feel like, because you have these teams that don't know each other very well.
Mm-hmm.
I could definitely see Jelani and Jenny needing that save well before Jim and Misty would have needed it.
For sure. And even with the express passes, I feel like there could have been a really interesting kind of fight for it. Because say if one of the blind date couples got it, they'd probably be more inclined to give it to another blind date couple.
Right.
Because it's like all the already dating couples already have such a huge advantage over them that I could see like a blind date alliance forming, and it could have been around that express pass, but no, now we'll never know.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is something that I think we could still see that kind of alliance form,
mm-hmm.
but you know how alliances are on Amazing Race. It's really just kind of this nebulous way of saying, I like these people better than those people. And
I might U-turn these people.
Yeah. And you know what? We're not going to see a U-turn for another few episodes. I'm going to guess right now.
Do you think it was kind of blowing their load a little too early by having this U-turn in the first episode?
I think it was more of a principle than an actual thing they thought was going to get used. Because I'm pretty sure they just wanted to make sure everyone knew that there are not legs that are the designated U-turn legs. They could come up at any point.
Right. They were trying to... It's not like these people would know. It's not like they've seen it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could tell them anything is Amazing Race tradition, and who the hell's going to know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I really don't think that the U-turn barely had any bearing on what was going to happen anyway. Like, it was did not seem like it was very close at the end.
That end, it's like, you always talk about Amazing Race karma, and it's like, why would you do it so early in the game when you don't know anyone?
Yeah, I get why Rochelle and Mikey might have wanted to do it. They thought they were going to be in last place. They were getting, like, it takes one bad cab driver, as we saw with CJ and Libby getting lost over and over and keep running into the same cab driver over and over. If that had happened to Rochelle and Mikey and they hadn't used the U-turn, they could have been in a lot worse shape than they ended up being.
Yeah, and I think it made sense for them, but it just, I feel like they used it too early. And now, like, they don't get another U-turn, right?
That's my understanding of it.
Like, I just feel like the show used it too early in general. Like, yeah. They could have gotten more drama from it if they would have waited a few more weeks and relationships have formed between the teams.
Yeah, when you increase the chance that someone's going to U-turn out of spite.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the best ones. When it really, like, sometimes it even ends up backfiring on you. And
sometimes a team will complain about it for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah,
people are too old to get U-turned.
Yeah, I hear if you U-turn an old man, it just makes you a terrible person on balance. So, but you know, Rochelle and Mikey this week, that's exactly what they did.
And I feel like they felt that desperation and they felt like they had to do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a blind U-turn, right? No one's going to find out.
No, they're not. They literally, the point at which Jeff and Lida found out who U-turned them, that was probably tonight.
Yeah, so and it kind of worked in their favor that the team that you turned was eliminated. It's not like anyone's ever going to find out.
And also nobody like, else could see it.
Yeah, like, no, the only other team that knows that someone was U-turned was Libya and
CJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that I thought was an interesting gamble too, because they also ended up using the U-turn. And I thought that was interesting. Or who did use that second U-turn? It was Jeff and Lida. They just turned around the U-turn. They're like, these guys might still be at the sake task. We don't even know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because then you saw CJ and Levia rolled up to the U-turn. You could see on the U-turn board that both U-turns had been taken.
And neither of their faces were in them.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, that was just kind of that was an even bigger desperation U-turn, and I'm sure they didn't think it was going to work. And it did not. The old man gets U-turned again, and the old couple goes out first.
I like them, but I think you said in the preseason that they really didn't stand a chance against all these young guns.
Yeah, and it didn't seem like they knew they were outclassed, I think, from minute one.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly didn't help that they end up taking this ridiculous detour that nobody really was good at.
Yeah, like, it was definitely cool to watch, but it just... And it didn't feel like it was that complicated.
It didn't. I mean, I didn't try it at home, but it seemed like people were, you know, screwing it up on things like not being able to stand on one foot.
For, like, 2 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the end bit was a little tricky.
But I feel like it was the same arm motions, like there's a pattern that just repeated.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to know the right number of times to do it. And then, like, I heard people had mnemonics that they were doing with it, like, you know, punch, punch, sumo. And I can't remember what the other ones were, but it was the ones that employed mnemonics and, like, counted out loud. And it didn't say you had to be quiet while you were doing the dance. I thought that probably was most helpful.
For sure. And even, like, watching the other teams, having that benefit of keep practicing, watching, like, the squad do it. And, mm-hmm. like, you could see one of Bergen and Kurt doing it while one of the other people were trying it out in the background.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. And I think I heard a team at one point say, oh, the other team's getting up to do it. Let's do it along with them.
Yeah.
To make sure we've got it. And.
Oh, you would. I would. That's exactly what I would do. I'd just keep practicing. Like, just keep doing it. You know, keep going for it.
Yep. Yeah, but I can't believe, like, Jeff and Lida said they were there for 4 hours.
Why wouldn't they, like, I get it's far away, but, like, yeah. I mean, once they probably got to the U-turn thing and saw their U-turn, they probably wanted to, like, straight up throw up.
Yeah.
And then once they got to the sake place and did that challenge and finished it in 3.4 seconds, they probably wanted to puke again at how easy that was and how, like, if they would have switched 2 hours before, like, they would have been smooth sailing. They would have been the top half the teams.
Yeah. It's 2020 hindsight. And unfortunately, it didn't work out for them. But, let's see. I guess we can probably start taking some questions that I collected from our Twitter followers. We've got quite a few, especially given that I only gave them about 15 minutes to do it. So
yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, good on you guys for having your questions at the ready. That was helpful. And if you guys have things you think of during the week that we don't get to and that you really want to have us address, Rob and I will talk about episode one a little bit, I guess, just to kind of catch you up when we do our live show on Friday night. And then from here on out, we're going to be doing it on Friday night. So it's not going to be, you know, pre-recorded podcast stuff in the middle of the night on Wednesday. You got your know-it-alls on Wednesday, you got your Amazing Race on Friday, and all will be right with the world again.
And I won't be doing it.
No, but you'll be covering other things that are equally important.
If you consider The Bachelor important, then yes.
Honestly, Haley, I think you and Amy are the only thing keeping The Bachelor on the air right now.
I think you're not giving enough credit to all those lonely women in the Midwest who just keep on watching it.
Those poor ladies.
They just want love.
Yeah, so does
they should. They should try out for The Amazing Race, yeah, I guess.
Clearly. I mean, if you were going to pick one of these shows to find love on, I'd at least go with the one that gives you a free trip around the world.
Yeah, like, I mean, on most seasons of The Bachelor, like, you get a free trip around the world. But this season, like, they had to stay in America basically the entire time, and that's boring.
Yeah, why was that? Did one of them have outstanding warrants or something?
No, I think just Chris is boring as an individual, so.
Yeah, it was a little bit rough. Yeah, like the one year they got to take him to Thailand. I think that was the last one I watched. And
yeah, with Juan Pablo. I mean, like, in this last episode, they went to Bali, which was really cool. But, I mean, before that, the most, like, they went to New Mexico and they went to South Dakota and they've been to Iowa, like, 14 times.
What did they do in South Dakota? Did they, like, did they have a secret, like, special date on, they shut down Mount Rushmore for the afternoon?
They went to a Big and Rich concert.
Of course they did.
I know, right?
Well, of course they did. Yeah, no, clearly if you're looking for love, go on The Amazing Race because
yeah,
even if you don't find love, you get to hang out with Phil and you get to do tasks and you get to go to a lot of places that are interesting instead of going to a Big and Rich concert in South freaking Dakota.
I mean, they only have one good song anyway.
That's one more than I would have thought. I should not disparage pop country because you all know what happened to me last season when I did that.
Did you get mean tweet? Oh yeah.
Yeah, I got mean tweeted.
I was like, who was that? I kind of mixed up All Stars with she was also on Say Yes to Dress, which is much more up my alley.
Yes.
I just sound like a really desperate individual to all your listeners who haven't heard me before.
No, I think you mean you sound like a very culturally enriched and knowledgeable person.
Sure, we'll go with that. I'll write that on my resume.
Hey, your pop culture literacy trumps most people's, and I think you should be proud of that.
Thank you. I would kill it in a game of Trivial Pursuit.
Reality Edition.
Reality Edition.
Yes.
And Harry Potter Edition.
Of course. All right, so on Twitter, Jeremiah Panhorst wanted to know, in The Amazing Race, if you arrive at a task and there are people from flight number one still trying to do it, you should change, right?
Maybe, like, I feel like if that task is really up your alley, then, like, why not stay? Like, if you're kind of, like, athletic and you're good at choreography, then you might as well stay there for the, you know, hour it takes to learn whatever.
Yeah, we've talked before about how you know you shouldn't be at a task, and if somebody's crying, if multiple people are crying, might be a good idea to try the other task. If you try it a couple times and you don't see a learning curve, that's when you switch. But, yeah, I don't think in and of itself, especially with only 45 minutes, like, you don't know what happened, like, how long it took people to even get there in the first place. 45
exactly.
Minutes can be crunched into almost nothing. All right, so David Bloomberg wants to know, can you think of previous detours with such a big time differential? And I honestly can't. There have been some that have looked like there's been one that's been impossible and another one that's, you know, it's going to take a finite amount of time. Like, we had this last season in Malta. There was the greasy pole thing where you had to run up the pole and grab a flag, and nobody was getting that, and everybody had to end up doing the other task. But I haven't seen one that was gettable but took, like, 10 times as long as the other one.
I feel like there was one. There was, like, a fishing one in All-Stars. I feel like that took, like, an excessive amount of time.
Did anybody actually pass the fishing one, or did everybody...
I honestly have no idea.
Because I kind of thought that it was one of those things, especially... I can't remember off the top of my head, but I remember reading something about that exact kind of fishing, and it said that basically nobody ever catches fish with it.
Yeah, my Amazing Race history is a little hazy.
You know what? I'm supposed to be an expert, and mine is, too. So,
after, like, 25 seasons, it's like some of the details blur together.
Just a little bit. Like, I frequently have, like, Wikipedia open when I'm going to be bombarded with those kinds of questions. But, you know, right now I'm just kind of spitballing here, and I think there are some that production didn't intend that anybody was ever going to get. And there are those detours where they kind of want everybody to try the other one. But I can't think of one that was... It was pretty clear, like, if there were two detours and they wanted everybody to try one, it was not going to be the Saki and Samurai one.
No.
So
I thought there was like going to be an element of like learning a samurai move or like a samurai like routine, because they started off with like routine is like learning routines and choreography is like a large part of Japanese culture. So I thought one was going to be like the more ancient kind of thing, mm-hmm. and one was like a modern interpretation.
Well,
of,
I got
like, the same thing.
I got faked out right away because they flashed on the screen the thing that they did in season 18 with the staffs and the reciting the poem. And I thought,
well, that's kind of what I thought was going to go on.
I was thinking, oh, they're going to do an unlabeled switchback and think we're not going to notice. But this was at least a totally different task. But I think there should have been another element to it of some sort. I don't know that element was, but it was...
Or it had to, like, do five or something like that.
Yeah, it was a little lopsided. All right, so Josh Smith wants to know, shouldn't we be getting solo confessionals from the blind daters to get their true feelings?
I didn't think of that, but I like that idea.
Yeah, I like that idea too, because I really, a couple of racers in particular, I want to get inside their heads. And we'll leave it at that. In fact, they should just do separate confessionals for everybody.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Like some of these relationships are like new.
Yeah, you don't have to use it much, but I like the occasional surprise solo confessional. It's sort of like on Survivor a couple of times, they've had confessionals where there's two people sitting there giving a confessional together. They haven't done that in a long time, but they used to do it every so often just to kind of mix things up, and I liked that a lot.
Yeah, it just adds like a different element of interest. And like you said, honestly, or like the questioner said, in a season like this, like you want to hear the blind dater's individual opinions.
Yeah, like especially if they think one of them is going to turn into a love connection, we want to hear people talking about that.
Or you want to hear like the disparity, like, I think he's so cute, like I want to be with him, and like he's like, yeah, I don't know about this one.
Yeah, Blair and Haley.
Yeah, sure. Well, I wasn't going to name names, Jessica.
Yeah, but pretty much I would love to see, yeah, I can see our future together, which is very Bachelor-esque. You have all the women, you know, I was already picking out names for our children, and then you have the Bachelor who's just kind of like, I've met one woman I'm crazy about. I'm not going to tell you who it is. It's not that one. Yeah. Anyway, so Chris Doran wants to know, is the French braid the only way we can differentiate between Bergen and Kurt?
One of them had a French braid. I noticed one had like a ponytail.
Yeah, one of them had like French braided the front of his hair, I guess, to keep it out of his face. Maybe it's something he learned on the mud run.
Yeah, well, see, you put your hair up.
Exactly.
Bloody nose.
These guys have short hair. They got it before the people with the long hair.
People are stupid, that's why.
Yeah. I want to guess, and I feel like maybe this is going to wind up in a secret scene this week, but I'm going to guess that Kurt's job is he is a pageant coach. Mm-hmm. So if anybody knows how to put a French braid into hair, that's going to be Kurt.
That's a very good point.
So I would love to see that like bonding at the airport scene where they're braiding each other's hair.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I might be actually shipping the Kurgan here.
You like it?
I like it.
I'm a fan.
I thought they seemed more like they would be platonic friends, but if there is a spark, I'm not going to hate it.
I concur.
All right, good. So Jeff Schwartz wants to know, how early in the process did they have to shoot the opening shots that the blind daters would look happy?
Right before they started the challenge?
Yeah, I think anything post-mud is going to be unhappy, but... Even Blair, to some extent, was like, okay, I can make it work. And then as soon as he gets in the car with her, it's not going to work.
Yeah, because their picture is really cute.
Yeah, they seemed like, in the picture, it looks like they had something going on, but anything after that. And they were joking with each other a little bit on the mat, so maybe there's hope for this couple, but... Longest shot. Definitely longest shot of the five.
Yeah. And even like in Jelani and Jenny's photo, it just looks like they're hanging out, like they're friends.
Yeah, they're broing out. About to go like have a beer and play foosball. They are not going to make out.
That sounds like fun.
That does sound like a lot of fun. So we got a question, actually, going back to Bergen and Kurt. We had a tweet from Trevwo. He said, my hot question, do you think Berger and whatever the other dude's name is going to end up dating or just friends?
I would say friends.
Yeah, I'm saying friends, too.
They almost, look alike, which kind of creeps me out when couples look alike.
Yeah, I think, and it's one of those things that you, when people, like, Megan and Shane is the classic example. I keep thinking in my head, oh, yeah, season 15, this team won. They were brother and sister. No, they were not brother and sister. They are married now.
Ooh, Aki Milwaukee.
Aki Milwaukee. As the great Jay Fisher says, it's Akko Taco.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, whenever a couple looks too much alike,
it weirds me out.
It's very disconcerting, and you kind of want some genetic diversity going on there, and these guys look like they could be brothers.
Yeah, you just want to hide your narcissism a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I'll give these guys a pass because they were put together.
Yeah. But you can kind of see, like, if one of them ends up being attracted to the other one, it might just be because they like dudes that look like themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they both said they like tall guys, and they were excited that they had the same hair, but no, I see this more as a good friends kind of bond, but as we said in the cast preview, they probably have lots of other friends they can set each other up with, so it's...
Yeah, it'll all work out for them.
Yeah, it's a win-win. Okay, JT Abba says, is The Amazing Race on the verge of cancellation?
I'm going to feel this one to you because I'm not sure.
I feel like they're starting to lower their expectations with this being on the Friday night time slot, but we are backsliding, and we're backsliding badly, and this total yawn fest of a season premiere is not going to do the show any favors. So it has been on the bubble before, and it's come back from the bubble. This show is still relatively cheap to make compared to, like, your average scripted drama. But I would say we are probably in the death throes, and as much as it pains me to say it, and you guys know I will be watching the show until the bitter, bitter end, but we might be looking at that, we might be closer to the end than the beginning, you know what I'm saying?
I could see that happening. Is it, like, once you kind of pull out these gimmicks, they're grasping.
Yeah, I mean, the last time we had a gimmick that was this gimmicky was season 8, the family edition that everybody hates. And that almost got the show canceled, and it never quite bounced back from the great ratings it had got up to season 7. So, that's a little bit, you know, it's not boding well, but, you know, I'm always prepared for this show to pleasantly surprise me, and very frequently it does.
That's true.
So, we will see. We'll keep hoping, and, you know, people like Bachelor in Paradise. Maybe we'll get some of that audience.
Oh my god, Amazing Race in Paradise?
Amazing Race is Paradise.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends who your partner is, but...
I guess so. And finally, we got one question from Survivor Twerks. This is more of a rhetorical question, but I like it anyway. She says, wouldn't it be amazing if Chris Harrison showed up at the elimination mat and said, one last rose, and then left?
It would be interesting because they're in different networks, but I would still appreciate it nonetheless.
Yeah,
cross. Or maybe they can get who's gonna be the new late night guy?
Oh, James Corden.
Yeah, they could get him to come on. Like The Bachelor got Jimmy Kimmel to come on. Like, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I feel like they could be doing so much more cross promotional synergy here. Maybe this is just CBS's roundabout way of launching a dating show. Like, what if this is all just a big backdoor pilot?
Oh my gosh. CBS, like, you need to focus on what you're doing well. Like, don't worry about all the other BS. Just, like, focus in on your big three, you know, build up around that.
Yeah. Pick a thing and stick to it. Yeah. So I guess that's all about all of the time we have and all of the interesting points to ponder we have, because this was really kind of a snoozer of an episode.
And it was.
I'm sorry to put you through that, Haley.
Oh my gosh, it's no problem. I love doing these things. I love branching out a little bit. And this one's kind of up my alley. Like, it's a little different, but it kind of fits into my repertoire.
Yeah, it certainly does. And that was why I thought of you to fill in for Rob this week, because you are such an expert at finding love on television.
You make it sound like I have.
Well, I don't know what you do in your spare time apart from podcast about The Bachelor.
My mom would be so happy if that happened.
Well, you know, Amazing Race Canada. There's always that.
I would be such a shit show on that show. Oh my God, I'd be terrible. I would, like, dislocate all my body parts in, like, the first dab.
Yeah, I miss Amazing Race Canada. And I miss it extra much after tonight. But anyway, Haley Strong, where can we find you on the social media?
You can find me all around the internet. You can find me on Twitter at @hstrong_. I write a blog about different things, a lot of reality TV, but other stuff. So you can find that at haleystrong.wordpress.com. And like we mentioned, if on the Wrap Up Network, I do a weekly show with Amy and we talk about The Bachelor. Even if you don't listen to The Bachelor, listen to us because we like getting attention from strangers on the internet.
You say that now.
Yeah, not creepy attention.
Yeah, don't be creepy at Haley. I will come after you.
Yeah, Jess will fight you.
That's right. And I am on the Twitter at Haymaker Hattie. That's HATTIE. And you guys can listen to the dulcet tones of my voice one more time on Friday night as Rob and I go back into the swing of our live post-Amazing Race recaps, which will be happening shortly after the show airs on the East Coast. And you can tune into that at robswebsite.com. You can subscribe on the iTunes Store. If you like all the reality shows that Rob recaps, you can subscribe to the main Rob Has a Podcast feed. Or if you only listen to The Amazing Race, you can subscribe to the Amazing Race only feed. And there's also Reality Rehap Ups, the aforementioned channel on which Haley recaps The Bachelor. And I also do some additional Amazing Race content down there as well. Plenty of stuff going on at Rob Has a Podcast all the time, and we hope that you guys will tune in for some and or all of it. Have a great night, everybody.